One of the things that you will very likely be doing as you continue to create and build more code is to maybe update something inside of an open source project. Or maybe you're now part of a team and you're going to be sharing your code out with your teammates and so forth. And so as part of that, you really want to make sure that you play well with others, so to speak, that you become part of the community and follow along with some good community standards. And so that's really what we want to talk about here in our formatting and linting section. So first up, let's highlight this. Everything that you see on that screen is, in fact, valid Python. All of that will run just fine the way that it is, no updates needed. But take a look at that. It's not really readable code. It's not pleasant. It's quite frankly, it's annoying. It's clunky. You're going to notice that we have all sorts of various issues, that we've got inconsistent use of white space, so that in certain areas, we've got spaces here and here, but we don't have a space here. You're going to notice that we've tabbed in to varying levels here and so forth. You'll also notice that we've got inconsistencies when it comes to quotes, things like that. And all of those different odds and ends are things that can make your code more difficult to maintain. And they're also going to potentially create issues when you go to share this code out with your teammates, other developers, or potentially the community. So in the end, formatting matters. That it's going to make your code more readable, it's going to help everybody else that you're working with, and it's also going to make it easier to debug. In all of my time, one thing that I've noticed that a constant is the developers that I see that are struggling the most to fix so many bugs are oftentimes the same developers who don't spend an awful lot of time worrying about what their formatting is, or put another way, don't have consistent formatting. And I'm not quite sure if there's causation or correlation there, but there's definitely something there. So formatting does matter. So taking a little bit of time to make sure that you've made the decisions about how you want your code to look is going to help you out. That honestly, when I'm writing code, I'm very rarely thinking about how I want to format the code. And the reason for that is I've made the decisions on how I want my code to look. So all I'm doing is just executing that plan. And that way, when it comes up where there is maybe a decision to be made, that maybe I'm calling a function or a method, and I've got a lot of parameters, and maybe I'm doing a couple of other things as part of that, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, do I tab into here, do I tab into there, and so forth, I can focus in on those decisions when those matter. And more importantly, by having made my formatting decisions in advance, it allows me to spend a lot more time focused in on what it is that I'm building, and a lot less time on how it is that my code is going to look, because again, I've already made those decisions. Now, when it comes to Python, there's this little proposal called PEP 8, or Python Enhancement Proposal 8, that is 100% about formatting. And if you go check out the Python site, and we'll link to it inside the GitHub, you're going to notice that it's very exacting when it comes to formatting in Python. Now, I'm not going to go through every single rule that makes up PEP 8, but I do want to highlight a couple of very common ones. So first up, spaces, not tabs. I'm not going to get into the middle of that debate. Spaces, not tabs. I will say in Visual Studio Code, when you hit the tab button, it will replace it with spaces. So you're good to go there. But it is spaces, not tabs, when it comes to Python. Variable name with underscores and not either Camel or Pascal cased. So we want that first one, not the last two. You also want to avoid extraneous white space. So what I want you to notice here is we've got a space there between the colon and the number 42. That's good because there's no space right after the word good. That's good. You're going to notice that we've got a space here and a space here. That's extraneous white space, or more specifically, it's the space that's right there. That's the extraneous one. That's the one that we want to avoid. Now, you're going to notice again that there's a whole bunch of rules. And chances are you're probably not going to remember all of them. I'll be honest, I don't. And this is where a tool like linting comes into play. A linter, which you're going to notice basically every language has, is going to be there to help support you when it comes to all these different types of issues. So things like naming, things like spacing, etc. Now, you will need to install a linter, Pylint by far being the most common. You'll notice that we can install that just by using the pip command. And then away we go from there. We are going to see when I get into the demo here in just a moment that this is automatically runnable inside of Visual Studio Code. And I also want to mention the fact that you can set up a configuration file. So that way, if maybe there are certain rules that you want to ignore, certain rules that you want to add, that you can go ahead and do that. And you'll even actually notice if you dig deeper into this that you can even ignore rules for like just one line of code. I do want to recommend, however, that you avoid doing that. That the word that we're looking for here is exception. We're looking to make an exception to the rule. And if we're doing that constantly, it's now no longer an exception. It's now just, well, the rule. So if a linter is yelling at you because you have poorly formatted code, the suggestion is to make sure that your code complies with the rule rather than avoiding the rule. It's just going to make your code, again, that much more readable, that much more maintainable. Speaking of making your code more readable and easier to use, we have this little thing called a document string or a doc string. Now, what I want you to notice is we've used three quotes here. And three quotes can be used to create a multi-line string literal inside of Python. But if you're not, say, passing this into a parameter or setting that to be a variable, it now becomes what's known as a doc string, effectively a multi-line comment. If you put this at the top of a construct, such as a function in my case, or maybe a class, it now becomes a document string. And so now what I want you to notice is the fact that I've got a little description of what it is that this is going to do. I've got a little section for my parameters where I'm listing off all the parameters. And then last but not least, you're going to notice that I've specified the return value. What's really nice about putting in a doc string is when I'm using a tool like Visual Studio Code, that it's automatically going to then display this in the IntelliSense as part of my function. So when I bring up this function, I'm now going to see that doc string, and it makes it so much easier for somebody else to use the tools that you've created. The last little thing that we want to highlight when it comes to helping out our users is dealing with weakly typed languages. What you're going to notice there is that that is valid code. But if we spin this forward, if we actually ran this, we're going to wind up getting an error message. Because we passed an integer, we tried to add an integer to a string. Python doesn't really like that. So what went wrong here is we passed in the wrong data type. Now, we can oftentimes avoid this or help people avoid this just by using good parameter names. Like, let's be honest here. If you see name, you shouldn't be passing in a number almost always. Name sort of implies the fact that it's a string. But what happens if maybe we don't have a really clear variable name for some reason? Or maybe we also want to be able to indicate what it is that this function is able to do. This is where type hints come into play. Now, type hints are relatively new in Python. You are going to notice that they're not commonly used, but I'm a huge fan of them, especially because of the fact that I also do an awful lot of TypeScript. And if you've done TypeScript, a lot of this is going to look very familiar. So what we're going to see here is the fact that we're now indicating that my name here is going to be a string, and we're also going to indicate the fact that we're going to return. a string. And again, when Visual Studio sees this, when Visual Studio Code sees this, it's automatically going to pop all of that up inside of my IntelliSense. Let's see how we can take advantage of Visual Studio Code to do linting, and how we can use both docstrings and type hints to be able to get a little bit more information about the functions that we're going to be calling.